It is a good morning out there. It actually is a very nice day out there. We got a clear day weather-wise on this Tuesday. However, tonight, tomorrow, this afternoon, tonight, probably tonight, I don't know exactly the time, but we have a system of precipitation moving in pretty much all day tomorrow. And this is really the busiest travel period, one of them of the year, ahead of Thanksgiving. So many people, 55 million on the road, not the airways or the trains, but the roadways. And I suspect, and we just heard from the Colonel of the State Police live on Good Morning New Hampshire, the Pulse of NH, Jack Heath here, Auto Fair Honda in Manchester doing the show live. We'll tell you why in a moment. J-Dog's back in our studios. But I think with the weather coming in tonight, I think people are going to get a jump on the traffic this afternoon on the main corridors, 93, 95 over in the Seacoast and, of course, in the Manchester-Concord area. So expect some heavier volumes this afternoon as people get a jump on the holidays. But we are really commemorating, celebrating our 15th anniversary of our regular weekly New Hampshire State Police segment brought to you by Auto Fair. So we're at the Auto Fair Honda location across from the mall in New Hampshire and really just talking about public safety. And as I said in the past few days, we've been painfully reminded, and of course it wasn't many weeks ago where we had a situation in Lewiston, Maine that was a national situation, certainly regional with the state police involved, supporting Maine police with the multiple murders in Lewiston that just shocked and is still that community will probably be grieving and recovering for years to come, if ever. But just the other day at the Concord State Hospital in Concord, we had a retired Franklin Police Chief, Bradley Haas, killed in the line of duty working as a security officer in the psychiatric area of the Concord State Hospital. And then, of course, in Manchester, there was a situation of a fatal homicide or loss of life over the weekend. And then early yesterday morning in Franklin, distraught individual, barricade situation, New Hampshire SWAT team. So the last several days we are reminded, and every day when you're out there and you see an overturned vehicle on the side of the road and you'll see responders and ambulance folks and then maybe a New Hampshire State Trooper with the lights on, remember to move over because too many troopers have been struck just doing safety or construction details. So we're reminded every day of the men and women who do keep us safer and better, and I think that's one reason why people like to live here. So we're celebrating 15 years of our state police segment, and the two folks who are with me are very appropriate to go into this hour live, and I appreciate both of them being here. They're both busy on their day jobs, as they say, but for many years they helped quarterback this segment with me from its infancy or in the middle of the 15 years, kind of like Monday Night Football, it survived. But it's important, and here's one for you. Let me start off and introduce Russ Conti. He's a former commander of the New Hampshire State Police, I think a major, yes. But he's still with the state, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Thank you, Russ, so much. In so many years, you were a great sport to be with us and help get the men and women who you work with on to tell their story. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Jack. It's been an absolute pleasure. I am so thrilled that 15 years later, this has evolved, and that evolution has been so positive with the communities and with the state police, and just very appreciative for everything you've done.
Well, we're going to get into it. And, of course, Mark Armiganian, he joins us today as chief of New Hampshire Liquor Enforcement. But for many years, of course, one of your other commanders of the state police and someone who quarterbacked this with me for many years. So, Mark, thanks so much for being here. I'll still call you chief.
Thank you, Jack. And thank you for inviting us here today. You know, it's great when those of us who have moved on to other positions can get together, and we reminisced all the way down here from Concord, the major and myself, over a cup of coffee, and when Major Marasco pulled in, we met window to window, and I swore we were in a crossover on 93 North, talking about the incoming weather front that's going to be hitting us soon. So just some good memories, and thank you, like Russ said, thank you very much for being the catalyst of all this. We have done a lot of great work. We have touched a lot of great people in the 603, and that all started with you and really the major coming up with a great idea years ago.
So. Well, it's amazing that you're both here, and thank you both very, very, very much. Still serving the state. We'll come back to that. But do you both realize when I was talking to Amber on the public information side of the state police, she was remarking on this, and she was able to check. Of all the states in the country, I mean, you think of big states, This is the only weekly segment for public safety on a network of commercial stations weekly, every week. Not once a month, not once a quarter. Each week, we come up with a different story. We don't. Your folks did, and they still do. And that, to me, is kind of cool. But it's actually surprising because I think that the public wants to learn more. They want to know more. And most importantly, Major, retired Major now, Russ Conte, still with the state in a moment. We'll talk about what you're doing. But they want to connect. I think they want a connection, right?
Absolutely. And I think the beauty part for me of seeing this thing evolve, having been, you know, the one that got together with you 15 years ago.
Remind me of that. In a minute.
To see the connection, and I think the thing that surprised me the most was just how endearing the public was and how endearing they were to the state police. I had no idea. You know, it's funny because you meet people in doing the job and you're always into their worst 15 minutes when, in fact, you realize that there is a mutual respect. And there's also a mutual respect for service. And I think that carried through. And I think it did a lot for our relationships with communities. But it also did a lot for the way troopers and law enforcement and first responders looked at themselves. Every once in a while, everybody needs that check. They need a gut check to make sure that what they're doing is right and the reason they do it and that, there is people that are very appreciative of all the services that are provided. So it's been an incredible experience. I'm so happy that the evolution is where it is now.
You know, it's funny, Russ Conte, and you're now with the state working on the mental health side, and you've done so much to help not only law enforcement but just families, so thank you for that. And just describe your role now.
So I'm the mental health and wellness coordinator for the state police, and this is a job that that after 32 years of service that I was offered and went into. And, you know, it was a natural progression because I had done a lot of mental health stuff on the job in my old job. And since that time, I'm a past president of the board of directors for NAMI New Hampshire. I'm a past chair for the Suicide Prevention Council. And I've been able to build relationships not only in the first responder world, but in the support world for first responders. And I think where we are as a community and society and especially the last several weeks have reminded us of the need of these two service organizations, these groups of people, the people that are involved in mental health and people that are involved in law enforcement and first response, that they need a close relationship because these are problems that will not be solved without looking upstream, without making sure that we're doing things along the way.
And Colonel Hall was just here, Colonel Mark Hall, and we were talking about this because of the cases that the calls that your folks respond to. But all families, I've said it constantly on my show, the number one health concern I have and health problem, I believe, that affect more individuals than, in fact, all of us can think of someone we know who battles with some degree of mental health, anxiety, depression, but the stigmas are attached. So, you know, as I've often said, if someone throws their back out and you say, how you doing? Well, I threw my back out. Yeah. But if someone says, I'm down, I feel depressed, I'm not doing well, people, we need to open up this discussion. In the military, I did my Veterans Town Hall last week. We are not serving our members of the military enough, multiple deployments physically, emotionally, and, of course, all families. And then, of course, sometimes the problem of addiction goes side by side. But let me come back to Mark Armaganian. The other thing about this segment, Chief, and, of course, you are the chief of New Hampshire Liquor Enforcement, working with establishments, and you call them licensees, I think is how you call
them. Licensees, yes.
But, Mark, the thing that that struck me over the years of us doing this segment, and thank you for the many years, is I remember once being in Portsmouth, and there happened to be a fire downtown. It was during the day. I was just walking, so it was just one of these situations where you had multiple response, and there was a police officer, not a state trooper, from another town helping Portsmouth police, and he was there. And Greenland, I think. And he just said, hey, can I just say thank you? Because I listened to that segment every week, and even though it's a state police, it's us. It's the only thing we have to hear about what we do.
Absolutely.
And he goes, even though I work in a local department, we're all one family.
Absolutely. And the partnerships that have grown, and when I say grown, have grown, I mean there were territorial lines at times.
Oh, I remember between Manchester and state police.
Going all the way back, and before any of us even thought about enlisting with the state police, and growing forward, we literally walk the same pavement that the municipal police officers, the county police officers, we've gone to the same academy. So there are friendships and bonds that have grown over the years.
And then the tow truck folks,
the tow association,
the firefighters, volunteer full time,
absolutely,
ambulance folks. So tell me before we go to a quick break, Russ Conti, because I can't recall. You actually remember the first time we had this crazy idea, and I said, hey, what if we just do a weekly segment? You probably thought I was a little bit crazy, right?
Well, you knew that, though. Yeah, well, we knew each other before, but I think we started with maybe 5 minutes. And again, it was a wonderful idea.
It was in the afternoon when the show was on in the afternoon. J-Dog and I were remarking. Yeah. That's why he went back, and it was right about the beginning of 2008, right about this time of the year, the end of 1 year and Thanksgiving period.
Yeah, it was just an incredible experience. It was new to everybody. I mean, I remember getting calls. I was a captain at the time at headquarters from other states that had tuned in and been like, how did you do that? I go, well, Jack's the one that's doing it. It's a mutual interest.
Right.
And Auto Fair was involved. We just had planets had lined up.
Was it one of you, which one of you, there was a family from Australia visiting, and he was a police official in Australia, and he went in, and he had heard about this segment.
Absolutely.
Do you remember
Actually,
that?
It's both of us came into the office.
That's right.
Yeah.
I remembered, and you got me smiling as we were sitting here. And
well, that's not hard to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're always smiling.
I remember coming, driving southbound from Concord, and as I'm driving southbound, of course, being aware of everything around me, I see a vehicle that abruptly just goes from one lane to another, and it looked like something was going on inside the car. Some life safety issue was happening, and the car immediately went into the breakdown lane, pulled over, four-way flashers on, and I'm like, wow, I'm running late for the show, but I need to deal with this. So I pull over and I walk up to the door like we all do. Mark Armiganian with State Police, is everything okay? And she goes, oh, my gosh, Captain Armiganian. And I sat back and I said, well, wait a minute. Do I know this woman? It was a woman who had coffee all over the inside of the car.
Yeah.
And the abrupt movement was she dropped her coffee.
Yeah, and it texted me hot.
And you were, because the segment started at that time at 6 o'clock, you were on her radio, and she listens to our segment, or listen to our segment. Hopefully she's listening right now.
Yeah.
Listen to our segment every week. And it was just funny. It created a lot of smiles. Well, I was concerned that, you know, she was going to be able to operate her vehicle okay, and if I needed to give her some napkins from inside the car.
Or a towel. You know, it's funny. I was in the Lakes region once doing an unrelated show, and a fellow came by, and he said, I used to listen to that segment. I was in one career. And I joined Marine Patrol because listening to the segment, I realized it's something maybe I should look into. So you never know. But my main driver is, in my humble opinion, your community doesn't get the voice enough to at least talk about what you do and why you do it. And we tend to hear more bad news sometimes about all professions than good. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. Hold on one sec, Nicole. Good morning, New Hampshire, the Pulse of the Nation. Going to take a quick break, and we're going to keep rolling. Aaron Real, NBC News Radio, national correspondent, our 15th anniversary of New Hampshire State Police. We'll be back in a moment. Always fun to get with two Hall of Famers. I feel like I'm Joe Buck, although I'm not really like him. No, I like it. It was good. I feel like I'm with he's the Hall of Famer. Mark Armiganian and Russ Conti, and anyone in law enforcement knows those two names. We're going to come back with them. But first, Aaron Real, NBC News Radio national correspondent. On this Tuesday, busy travel day, probably more today, Aaron, because in our region we have some, as they say, weather coming in tonight. But gas prices are definitely coming down, it looks like, and that's not a bad thing for Thanksgiving travel.
Not at all. Get excited. National average, $3.31 a gallon. This is exciting stuff. This is the lowest it's been in 10 months. It only matches in terms of Thanksgiving holiday 2020. That was the last time it was this low. Mind you, that was peak COVID. No one was going anywhere. So this is, again, really a welcome reprieve, something we've been wanting for a while. And it's kind of happening because concerns about demand, especially in China, have emerged. And then oil inventories, they've increased. We've been able to rebuild our supplies that were quite limited for a while. But the strategic oil reserves that we tapped during $5 gas days, They're coming back. This is all something to be grateful for this holiday season.
Well, we thank you. We appreciate it. And it is a little less painful than $3.80 a gallon or near $4. Oh. Thank you, Aaron.
Oh, you too. Have a good one.
All right. Aaron Rial, NBC News Radio, national correspondent. Again, Chief Mark Armiganti and Russ Conti, former major with the state police, still involved with the state police. And we'll just say on the healthcare side of things, but thank you so much. How many years, Russ, in law enforcement?
Total 38. This is my 38th year, so it's been a while, but they have passed.
If I remember right, New York area?
Yes, originally from upstate New York.
And what about you, Chief Armiganian?
Oh, my God, the story is so similar. So back in the day, the major actually met me back home in New York at a gym. I didn't recognize him.
Because you were a place kicker in high
school. I didn't recognize him because he grew up with a mullet and it had disappeared. But that was my calling actually was brought to me in the fashion of Major Conti, Trooper Conti at the time, working, hadn't gone into narcotics yet. Troop D. Our fathers actually played ball with each other back in the day.
So you were from the same area.
Same area. Exact same area.
And how many years now in law enforcement?
I was an Oneida County Sheriff back in New York when I first started. Came on to the state police. That was 87. Came on to the state police in 89. And now with my time at liquor enforcement, I'm at 37 years, just short of 37 years by month.
Wow. And again, it's what I worry about. We just had, and Russ, you might have context, and Chief Armiganti in this, but Colonel Hall was just talking about the number of full-time state troopers. And there's, I think, CJ, did he say it was between 70 and 80 openings right now? 70 openings for full time. That's remarkable to me because it's such an honorable career. And I don't, you go back 10, 20 years, there weren't that many. I mean, I remember maybe 5 to 10, 15, but I don't remember anything over 50. That's unusual, right? But that's across the country. And I'm hearing it from military recruiters as well, like Army National Guard. If we don't get people in to serve, who's behind them?
Mm. Couldn't agree more. And I think, it's unprecedented, those kind of openings. And that was not the case when myself and Chief Armiganian started, but you know, that's where we are. But I think, you know, one of the keys is assuring that people understand the levels of service that are provided. It is not, you know, in a traditional sense now. There is so much more that is being done by first responders and specifically law enforcement that will get an interest to people that may have a background. They may have a background where they originally went to school for to be mental health clinicians or to be social workers. We are attracting people to the career now for a lot of other reasons.
From different careers.
Correct.
Yeah, and really all walks. I mean, we just had Trooper Stone here, education.
Yep.
And became a state trooper. But again, I worry, and, you know, I don't want to get into my normal commentary of a show, but I'll say it. College campuses today, you know, being pro, join the Army, serve, get your college paid for, serve your community, serve your country, less than 1% serve, public service, law enforcement. Too often younger people, in my humble opinion, aren't having the mentors and the role models tell them it's an honorable professional career, unless it's within the family. So often, Major, I'll see within one family, an aunt and uncle served, a dad, a mom, so they got into it. And without those, oh my goodness, where would we be? Because so many young people, and it really ticks me off, and one reason why I do the show each week in a positive vein, hey, you know what I say? In all careers, including talk show hosts, doctors, pilots, politicians, heart surgeons, is everyone perfect? No. But 98%, 99% of the people in there are trying every day, you know, to do a good job. And in my humble opinion, law enforcement over the last several years collectively in bigger urban areas outside of this state have gotten a bad rap. And I think, why would you want to become a police officer today as a young person? That's probably what they're thinking. So this is encouraging to talk about the people, talk about the service, talk about the rewards. And almost every trooper we've heard from this morning, they love the fact that every day is different. And they're helping people. They're helping people.
And from our perspective, I think we don't have at liquor enforcement. We don't have the openings that they do. We're not as big of an agency. But at the same time, we are finding that everybody who has come to apply to liquor enforcement has a passion. They have a story. And it's 9 out of 10 times a negative story as they were growing up of something they have saw that has led them to being part of the solution, part of liquor enforcement, to make what they saw was wrong or right.
Right.
And to educate.
Right.
And we firmly believe, I mean, back in the day, this radio show was all about educating. Still
right.
is to this day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Education's the platform for all of what we do. And we believe, the three of us, and we just reeled in Major Marasco here, Director Marasco, but listening to him after I handed off the baton, mm-hmm. And him with his New Americans and the groups that he was associated with.
Well, Trooper Stone just sat here and said it was at the time Major Marasco who talked to her.
Absolutely.
She was in education. Hey, have you ever thought of becoming? He's a pretty good salesperson.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting because Russ Conti and many law enforcement folks out there know the name, and Mark Armaganian here, really for many, many years started this 15 years ago, this segment. We're celebrating it. And, you know, with all the news sometimes being negative and divisive, I thought it would be good to celebrate something positive. And, of course, we're dedicating the show in part to the memory of retired Franklin Police Chief Bradley Haas, who was killed in the line of duty Friday afternoon, just doing his job at the state hospital in Concord. And he also had been a member of the military. So to the Haas family, thoughts and prayers. And where the Colonel Hall talked about Chief Haas earlier from Franklin. So, but you know, there's plenty of bad news out there, so I thought the good news going into Thanksgiving, what are you grateful for? What are your blessings? Well, this area where we live, and then also the folks that keep us safe. You know, it's just a novel concept I have. If you have to call 911 or you're going on the highway and hypothetically a deer runs in front of you and you roll your car and you call, well, who comes? It's usually a New Hampshire state trooper somewhere in the middle of nowhere, somewhere middle of the night, EMTs, local police. Well, that's firefighters. That's our, in your worst day, you need the best people. In your worst day, you need the best people. And that's who these people are. And we've been doing it 15 years. And one of the folks who, as Mark Armaganian said, John Marasco, I think I knew him when he was like lieutenant, captain, and major all within 1 year. But he quarterbacked this segment, come a little closer there, for many years with me as we got going. And I appreciate what you do, and yeah, you're director of motor vehicles, but we did this for many years, and so thank you. Whereas we look back, 15 years.
Yeah, Jack, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here with you this Thanksgiving time, and it's an honor to be here in the company of Major Conti, who worked with you 15 years ago to get this segment to where it is today, and Captain Armaganian, who for many years spearheaded it and brought it to another level, and Lieutenant Scott Sweet, retired as a captain and did a great job. So just an honor to be here with all of you. And I had the opportunity to see the Colonel Mark Hall, and what a great leader he and his team, Lieutenant Malalay and Trooper Stone. So it's just, I thought about it on the way down here, Jack, all of the amazing stories, all of the opportunities that you've served up for public safety throughout the state over the last 15 years. We can't express how grateful we are for it, the number of voices that have been on this program. You're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that have come through this program that have talked about troopers saving lives, police officers saving lives, leaders in the community, young people that are doing something special in school. You have served up a great opportunity for people to come together. And if you think about it, and when the major started this with you all those years ago, sometimes you don't have something to offer other than a conversation. But this segment actually represented an opportunity to say, hey, why don't we do something together? Why don't we come in and collaborate on air together about this special initiative that's going on? And that really gave us something to work with. And I want to share one thing with you. For the years that I was fortunate enough to be part of this program, for all of the troopers that you would reach out to and say, hey, would you want to come on Jack's program? They all said yes. And that's a testament to you.
Well, thank you. I do think, Major Marasco, of several anecdotes over the years. And I think it was you who brought in a couple young troopers, and one had been gone to Boston College Business School, I remember. And you'll remember because I know you put so much passion. And he epitomized, played, I think he wanted to be like a minor league, a pro baseball player. And I go, he was going into financial services. And I go, why'd you leave that career?
Yeah.
And he said, because I wasn't helping people.
Yeah.
That was, that was his answer.
Trooper Kevin Pratt, and went to Boston College. Was
Is he still on?
With the hockey team. I'm not sure. I'm actually not
sure.
But
he was just a wonderful story, I thought.
Yeah, he sure was. And but those are the types of things, Jack. You know, one other thing I wanted to share is with all of the troopers, police officers that came on the program over the years, going back to Major Conti's time, I think one of the biggest takeaways was that we all learned something. Mm-hmm. Because you'd sit there and you'd see a different side. You'd hear a different story, a different perspective. And many of the troopers that came on got emotional during the segments, talking about whatever it was that they were there to talk about. And I think the way that you allowed that to come through for all of us was just a great gift.
Well, you brought a lot of passion to it. You weren't, you know, you really did, and you were creative in the segments we would do. And I said to Mark Armaganian earlier, I remember this even touched officers in another country who would listen to the segment. I think it was Australia. Once someone came into headquarters visiting the state and say, oh, I heard about this segment. Tell us about it because we'd like to try it in Australia.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, the other thing, Jack, is that you would get calls from young people.
Yeah.
I would hear from young people, high school aged,
yeah.
That would call and say that on their way to school, they would listen to the segment. And they would learn something, and that inspired them to want to seek out a career in law enforcement. Young people and talk radio, you might not always make that connection. It was there. And they actually look for it every Thursday morning, and they still do. So.
And as I said, Russ Cronti earlier, John Marasco, and I do feel like I'm with three Hall of Famers. But these three here, you know, between them, even though they're young, probably 100 years of public service sitting right here. And that's a testament when you think about it because, you know, you know, I've been blessed to hang out with Navy SEALs, and the thing that strikes me about them is not what you see or think, is humility. And I'm always thanking them, and they go, oh, no, you, thank you for letting us do what we did to be part of the teams. And
right.
I think of you three in the same capacity because all those years of public service, you know, being away from a birthday, an anniversary, being out because a case was going all day or into the night. Your families too, by the way, and that's another thing we don't think about in law enforcement is the family serves with you, correct, Major?
Absolutely. The family's a huge part of a successful career, and, you know, I've yet to go to a retirement get-together that somebody didn't bring their family in, and when they say, you know, what's the best part of it? My family is the best part of it. And if you know, although there is casualties of the profession, certainly, and families have a tendency to fit into that, I think a strong family in that basis, the whole family does serve. And, you know, your children are aware of what you do. It's all-encompassing. And you cannot do this job, the job of helping people, the job of going into communities and helping people, without involving everybody that surrounds you. It's your circle. That's part of it.
And Major Resca, how many years with you? I asked these two.
25. 25 with the state police and two proud years, a little over 2 years with the Concord Police Department as well.
So almost 30. So really it is about a century of service sitting here at this table. And you know, I love sports. I think we all do. And I think of, like, you know, the Hall of Fame type athletes. And I didn't think of this morning because when I reached out to Chief Armaganian and he rounded up you two, and I knew Amber was going to get you, and I figured that the Major, since we really started this in its infancy, would come in. I didn't think of it this way. I'm really sitting with the Hall of Fame of New Hampshire law enforcement, at least three Hall of Fame members, and you're still going strong. You're all three working still. And, you know, that's the other thing on an encouraging note. How do I say this? On my morning show, I try and articulate this, and the people I meet offline, I think, hear it once in a while. I, frankly, am tired nationally of not seeing a better morale in this country. We're still the freest nation on earth. We live in the live free or die state. People from all over the country want to move here and live here. We have our flaws and faults. We all do as humans. I do. We all do. But we're still the best nation on earth, the freest nation on earth. And I think young people need to embrace that and, you know, fix what's broken, learn from history. But there's a lot of good. And the caliber through the years of the state troopers I've met have been so professional, so dedicated, so attentive and they really like what they do. They're not lethargic. They're not going through the motions. They enjoy what they're doing. And I just think we probably have some of the best people in the country doing this job here. And I see it in firefighters. I see it in EMTs. I see it in first responders. And I think we need to be proud of that. And I think more people need to run to that and not run away from it. And because I got to tell you, it's just like in the military, and I do a lot to support our veterans. Our military doesn't set the politics or the wars or the policies. They serve. And when I saw the Gerald R. Ford go pull in that carrier into the Middle East with Israel and the war with Hamas, I just said, who's behind them? Who's behind us as a country? Yeah. And who's behind you folks? And that's what people want, and their worst day is the best. And I'm sitting with it. So thank you three. I owe you the thanks.
Well, we appreciate it very much, Jack. And I know the governor's statement to all state employees after the tragedy on Friday, talking about the state police being the best of the best. They're heroes. They're heroes. They dedicate their lives to doing a job for everybody else. And I got to tell you, in New Hampshire, and I know the major and captain feel the same way, and Colonel Hall, the support that we have throughout the state from the public that we serve is second to none. And we've always been aware of that, thankful for that. And, it's just it's an honor to serve here in New Hampshire in any capacity in public service. So,
well, thank you for the years, as they say. Thank you for making us better, and I hope you and your family are well.
Thank you, Jack.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Before I let you, we're just going to go to break. Hold on. Major, maybe you could just say your thoughts. I'm not saying you knew Chief Haas, but I imagine you might have crossed paths. Your thoughts to his family, just doing his job. Chief, he also served the country in the military. He's no longer with us, but he is in spirit. I know he is within the family of law enforcement. And maybe just some thoughts on him.
Absolutely. I did know him. And I did. I was able to work with him when he was with Franklin Police Department. And when I ran the major crime unit, we had gone up to investigate stuff when he was chief. He was a quiet professional. And he was a sincere, committed, quiet professional that I know his family will always value all his years of service. And our hearts really are broken. I think, Colonel Hall said that. But when I heard who it was, and I was there Friday night to help out, it made me pause and think about, how lucky we all are to know people just like him and to know that there's people that are that committed.
And I don't think it, I think it probably should be said, but I think it hasn't been said. We know what happened recently in Lewiston, Maine. A lot of people lost their lives and a lot of families will have holes. But Friday afternoon at the state hospital, if law enforcement didn't do the job that they do, and that state trooper, as hard as it may be, that could have been a horrific, horrendous. It was already a terrible situation with the chief's passing, but he was killed in the line of duty doing what he was trained to do. But that trooper acted, and I've talked to some law enforcement. They said, Jack, that could have been absolutely horrendous. It could have been so much worse. So as bad as it was, thank you for what you guys do, and gals. We're going to take a quick break, back with our 15th anniversary of our regular segment on the New Hampshire State Police, brought to you by Auto Fair Honda Manchester. It's the only segment of its kind in the country, and we thought going to Thanksgiving, since this is our 15th anniversary, we would spend a moment. We are, again, in the lobby of Auto Fair Honda in Manchester. Beautiful. What color, Jason, ahead of Auto Fair, is that blue of the truck? What do you call that in the car world? It's not royal. It's not navy, is it?
I got to go with blue.
You're going to, again, bring him up a little bit? What's that?
I'm going to go with blue.
No, but it's. I like the blue. It's different. But a blue Ridgeline.
Dark blue.
Brand new, filled with toys for the Toys for Tots and the Marines. Jason, great host, great sponsor of our segment. Thank you so much for having us again here with Hall of Famers in front of you.
It is a privilege having you all here today. I appreciate it very much.
Well, appreciate the team here. How many folks in the Auto Fair family now? How many?
About 600.
Wow. And how many locations in New Hampshire you said now? Six?
Six, including our collision center.
Wow. Yeah, and I was at one this morning. You're in Stratum, the Nissan. And good stuff. I still say Major Marasco, but now Director. What's your title? Motor Vehicles?
Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles, yes.
And you made a good point, though. It's all under the umbrella of the New Hampshire Department of Public Safety. State police, all of it. Marine Patrol, everything.
That's right, Jack. The commissioner, Commissioner Quinn, always talks about seven strong, seven divisions within the Department of Safety. And like I said, I've been very fortunate to be able to serve both in the state police, one of the divisions, and now in the Division of Motor Vehicles. And I just want to let you know, Jack, that from all of us in the Department of Safety and at the DMV, I have a certificate here for you, a certificate of gratitude that says presented to Jack Heath in recognition of your 15 years of unwavering support to New Hampshire public safety. Your friendship and support are greatly appreciated. So from all of us in the New Hampshire Department of Safety, thank you.
It will go in the studio or on the wall with the other, but you know, our folks there, not me, because you know what? It's I always feel if you can do this and you have the mic in front of you, whether it's veterans, military, public safety people, do it, you know, if you can do it. So thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it.
And
thank
again, you, Jason. Jason, I know Governor Sununu is coming by a little bit. We're going to he might. You know what? I know sometimes he, speaking of state police, he might be with a trooper. He might like that ridgeline going into the holidays.
Let's have him take a look.
He's probably listening, so we can have him do a test drive. Chief Armaghani in New Hampshire Liquor Law Enforcement, so many years doing this with you. I know you wanted a thought on public safety as well. So thank you for coming here. Thank you, Russ Conti. Still with the state doing yeoman's work, and we're going to come together in January. He and I were talking earlier about that, so thank you. I know, Chief, Captain, what do you prefer? Chief?
It doesn't matter. I'm Mark Armaghani, and every day of the week I'm a dad.
Dad.
Of two beautiful girls and a husband of a beautiful wife that was a lieutenant with the state police.
By the way, I remember Nicole very well. She was on with us often.
She's listening right now and very happy.
Thank you for putting up with him.
Thank you, Jack. You know, at the end of the day, we're going to grab lunch just now or coming up here, and we're going to reminisce about not only the show, but all the great things that we've actually accomplished and seen accomplished over the years. But now segueing into my current position as Chief of Liquor Enforcement.
Yeah, we're right on the eve of Thanksgiving almost.
Absolutely. Yep. As you know, we're right there. And it is a time, let's think about it. I mean, you have already gone through this with your daughters. I'm living it now. The family's all coming home. They want to get together with their friends. They are of legal age to partake in alcoholic beverages, but the main thing here is to have a plan, and that plan is either to have a ride share, a designated driver, but also our partnerships with our licensees, and responsible service is what we proclaim day in and day out. And I will tell you that the licensees in this state are so responsible, and they do trip every once in a while, but we pick them up really quick, educate them on what
but
is going
so
on.
It's so easy to make a mistake.
It is.
And
it
you
is.
Can live with it for years or worse.
And that's what we
and
try
they're all,
to avoid.
Most all avoidable. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Almost everyone we can talk about is avoidable.
That's what we try to avoid. And again, collectively, with my old position at the state police and now my current position, to make sure that not only our guests that come to this state come here in a safe fashion, but also know that we want to keep our highways safe. We want to keep our communities safe. We're all going in the same direction,
right.
And that direction is protecting the 603.
Thank you, Chief. And Jason LaCroix, again, we're going to bring in U.S. Senator Gene Cheney. He's going to check in Governor Sununu. Auto Fair, again, Toys for Tots. If people want to come by your locations, you're collecting toys for the Marines?
It's right there in that blue ridgeline.
Well, you keep talking about that ridgeline. What's any good offers right now?
Absolutely.
Good time to come in and bring in something used or get something?
It's always a good time, and we have inventory, so it's even better.
Yeah, all right. And again, we had some folks asking about the oil change, $17.50, but time's running out in November. All right, thank you, Jason, for hosting us. We're going to come back. The governor's coming in, and Gene Shaheen checking in as well, Governor Chris Sununu. But we have another hour to go. We'll have the latest for you. And again, we're on the eve of a pretty big holiday. People will be, are you staying local or are you on the road?
Yeah, we'll be up in the Guilford area.
Okay, good. It's always fun to be in the 603.